digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Jack Bauer is currently undercover with some of the terrorists. They're expecting Jack to help them release a single canister of Centaux nerve gas in the Sunrise Hills shopping mall.
Do you mean actually let them release the Centaux? Are you out of your mind?
We're monitoring the terrorists. We know with 100% certainty that when they leave the mall, they're going back to the remaining canisters.
I'll go along with your assessment. Let them release the Centaux, but you better find those other canisters, or those people will have died in vain.
There is still time to move in and stop them before they murder all those people.
Audrey, we have a directive from the president. Do you realize how many more people could die if these men don't lead us to the other 19 canisters?
Lane, you tell me, if you're in Jack's shoes, could you follow through with that order? Stand by and watch as they murder all those people?
If those are the orders of the president, yes, I would have to.
Trigger's been reconfigured. You can activate the canisters now.
You better hope it works.
What's the unlock code?
Jack, the unlock code is Alpha Kilo Charlie.
Echo, Bravo Charlie.
Jack, this is a direct order from the president. Now enter the correct code. Let them release the gas. Now!
Make it work!
I told you there's nothing I can do!
We have another way to release the gas.
I managed to stop the flow of gas, but some got into the ventilation system. We need to evacuate the mall now.
What about the terrorists?
One's dead, one escaped. Monitor the tracking device in the remote trigger. The hostile that escaped still had it on him.
I managed to activate the valve before I got away. At least some of the gas was released in the mall.
What do you want me to do?
Come back here.
You were followed. You know what to do.
No! Hostile down!
Erwick is gone. The canisters are gone. We've got nothing here. Damn it!
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m.
Despite an attempt by extremists to derail the process, the treaty was signed earlier today by President Logan and Russian President Yuri Suvorov. Officials from each country are hailing the agreement as a major milestone in U.S.-Russian relations. The White House press secretary has called this a critical achievement in diplomacy and will set the course for President Logan's...
Centaux gas is genuine.
Details of the accord's specific terms
was successful.
Outline an aggressive and broad-based strategy...
I spent a year securing a weapon that would bring Moscow to its knees. You wasted killing a handful of American civilians.
Erwick comes round to face the Englishman.
A betrayed vehicle. Someone must pay. I agree.
You are the one who trusted the Americans. Nathan's had lied to us. He plotted to turn the gas against us. Your trust nearly cost us everything.
The Englishman pulls his knife out of Erwick's gut.
Since I anticipate this, I have secured additional men and resources at great personal expense. Have you found a way to reconfigure the canisters with dispersal mechanisms?
Yes.
Do it. Nathanson will be eliminated. Then we will return to our original task. Striking at the heart of Russia.
Where's Nathanson? I don't know where he went. I swear, I don't.
The man cowers at his workstation. A gunman prowls around him. Having casually shot his victim, the gunman dials a number on his mobile. Erwick's body is dragged across the concrete floor of the cellar where he was killed. The Englishman answers the phone.
Yeah.
I took out Nathanson's man. But there is no sign of Nathanson.
Find him.
Nathanson, formerly the shadowy figure with the blue tooth, cuts a rather nervous figure now as he escapes at speed in a black saloon car. He reaches for a mobile phone from the luxurious leather-trimmed dashboard.
Alpha 7.
It's Nathanson. Someone just took out my men.
Who?
I think Bierko's hitting us back. Destroy all your databases.
The man is shot. Nathanson curses silently as he hurriedly hangs up. At CTU.
I know you're there, Jenny. Pick up the phone. Damn it, Jenny. I need the key card for my wallet. Look, leave the police out of this. You and your loser boyfriend can keep the money you stole, max out my credit cards. I don't care. Just give me back my key card. It's important.
We can't sell the key card. Why can't we just give it to him?
Jenny McGill's low-life boyfriend sits silently toying with Lynn's stolen key card.
Calling my brother.
No, you're not.
What is going on, Dwayne?
I'm handling this.
Dwayne, undernourished and unshaven, continues to stare at the keycard with a slightly unhinged look. At CTU, Lynn McGill's phone rings on his desk.
Jenny.
Mr. McGill, hold for the president.
Have your people recovered the nerve gas?
McGill!
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm sorry.
Do you have any leads? Have you intercepted the terrorists?
No, sir. The man we followed from the mall took his own life before he could be apprehended.
Damn it, McGill, I put this on you. If you'd let the terrorists release the Centox gas in the mall, as I agreed to let you do, we wouldn't be where we are right now, which is nowhere.
Mr. President, stop.
Stop making excuses. Take responsibility and do your job.
Lynn looks utterly crestfallen and drops the phone onto the desk. 306. Buchanan briefs staff in front of horrific images from the gassed mall.
Although we were able to limit the casualties, the attack at the mall indicates that these terrorists intend to make good on their threat to release the nerve gas on U.S. soil. Unless we catch a break, we can expect to suffer multiple attacks resulting in mass casualties.
Lynn enters.
I assumed you'd want me to start without you.
Just tell me where we are.
LAPD is setting up a perimeter around the terrorist's last known location. We've activated all search protocols, including satellite and Caltrans surveillance.
But we don't have any real leads, do we? If Jack Bauer would have followed orders and maintained his cover, we could have intercepted these people.
We don't know that for sure, Lynn. What we do know is Jack's failed decision saved over 800 innocent people.
Well, it may well cost us 100 times that many people.
In the meantime, we've contained both the physical threat and the media's awareness, which would have triggered massive civil unrest.
Well, you tell yourself that if you want to, Ms. Raines, but the fact remains that these terrorists are at large. 19 canisters of Centox nerve gas, and we don't know where or when they're going to hit us next.
We're all aware of the threat, Lynn.
Then why does she keep defending Bauer? I want Bauer placed in custody. I want him brought in here. I want him held responsible for what's happened.
Jack can be disciplined later. Taking him out of the field right now is a mistake.
Don't tell me how to do my job.
He was authorized by the president.
But he works for me, and so do you. I want him here now. The rest of you maintain your search protocols. Send your progress reports to my screen in 10 minutes.
Lynn storms out. Chloe's eyebrows speak for everyone present.
It's all right. We're all under a lot of pressure. Let's get back to it.
The meeting breaks up. Audrey looks at Bill as he makes a phone call. End of part one. Part two.
Manning.
Mr. Buchanan, we have orders to bring Jack in.
We weren't able to find anything to confirm this guy's identity. I want you to take his picture, lift his prints, get him over to CTU as soon as possible. We've got nothing on this guy. We're going to have to run him through NCIC and Interpol databases.
I just got a phone call, Bill. Lynn McGill wants me to bring you back to CTU. He's on some kind of warpath.
Why, because I didn't think letting terrorists release Syntox nerve gas in a crowded mall was an acceptable loss?
And because we lost our only real lead, and Lynn's looking for someone to blame.
I was appointed by the President of the United States. It was a field call.
I know. And between you and me, I think you made the right call back at the mall.
Calling the President.
Look, Jack, the trail's gone cold. There's no point in fighting it. Let's just go back to CTU and square it.
Fine.
Look, sorry. But I also have to take your gun. Jack, don't make this any more difficult than it already is.
Fine.
309.
We can't afford to decommission Jack, especially now.
I agree.
Well, what can we do about it?
Nothing. Well, Lynn's in charge?
He may be in charge, but he is not in control.
Miss Raines, you have a call on line one.
Thank you.
I'll be filtering intel on station 3.
Audrey moves over to a workstation and picks up.
Audrey Raines.
Miss Raines, if you try to trace this call or put anyone else on the line, I will hang up.
Who is this?
My name is James Nathanson. I'm sure Walt Cummings has already told you all about me.
You're the one who sold the nerve gas to the terrorists.
It's close enough to the truth.
What do you want?
Transfer me to Jack Bauer on a clean line.
Why Jack?
That's not your concern.
You're getting to Jack through me. That makes it my concern.
I'm going through you because I know you have a special relationship with Bauer.
I know all about you, Miss Raines, which is why I'm counting on you to recognize an opportunity when it presents itself.
What opportunity?
I can help you find this nerve gas.
How do I know you're telling the truth?
You don't. Now put me through to Bauer.
Audrey thinks hard. She then casts a look towards where McGill sits alone staring at his screen. She presses a button on the phone.
This is Bauer.
Jack, I know you're with Curtis, so I'm assuming that you can't speak freely.
It's Audrey. It's personal.
Go ahead.
Thanks.
I'm on the phone with a man who claims to be James Nathanson. He was Walt Cummings' contact. He says he has information about the terrorists, but he will only talk to you.
Why me?
You can hang up now, Miss Raines. My phone has a node monitor. I'll know if anyone else comes on this line.
Jack?
It's all right, Audrey. Hang up the phone.
All right.
What do you want with me?
Protection. The terrorists you're after are trying to kill me.
If the terrorists figured out that you were the one who rigged the canisters of Syntox to blow up in their faces, what do you need me for?
Just turn yourself into the authorities. They'll protect you.
Walt Cummings isn't the only one behind this operation who works inside the government. I need your help.
You conspired to have me take the fall for President Palmer's assassination. What makes you think I'm not going to kill you myself?
Because you want to stop the Syntox gas from being released on American soil. So do I.
Where are you?
There's a phone booth on the south side of Moore Park, just east of Densmore. Be there in 10 minutes, or I'll be gone.
Moore Park and Densmore, got it.
Jack.
Audrey, I'll explain everything as soon as I get back to CTU.
Jack hangs up and gets back into the 4x4 with Curtis.
Thanks.
Curtis pulls away. 3:11. Curtis throws a glance over to Jack.
It's gotta be strange for her. Audrey. Just yesterday she thought you were dead. Yeah. I know this is none of my business, but she's a good person, Jack. I hope you two get half a chance. Thanks.
Jack looks in the wing mirror. The road behind is clear. They come to a stop sign. Jack rabbit punches Curtis and gets him in a headlock.
Jack!
Don't fight Curtis. Don't fight him.
Jack expertly squeezes until Curtis passes out.
Sorry.
Jack gets out of the vehicle and comes round to the driver's door. He hoists Curtis's inert body out on his shoulders and carefully deposits him on the verge. He removes his gun from Curtis's pocket and gets back into the 4x4. Three:18. Jack drives. President Logan agonizes. Audrey looks anxious. Lynn looks rattled.
Lynn McGill.
It's Curtis. Jack escaped.
What?
He got a call from someone. Next thing I know, he blindsided me and took my car.
Who called him?
He said it was Audrey, but he may have been lying. Lynn?
We can try to track him using your vehicle's onboard transceiver.
I just tried bringing it up on my PDA. He's either disabled or shut down the transceiver.
Curtis, how could you let this happen?
I'll get dispatch on it. One of my teams en route to pick me up. We'll find them.
You don't even know where to look. Get back to CTU, we'll deploy from here. Damn it.
3:19. Audrey works at a screen. Lynn comes briskly down the steps from his office.
Chloe, run a triangulation on Jack Bauer's cell phone. Find out where he is.
Yes, sir.
He approaches Audrey.
Have you talked to Jack since he's been in custody?
No.
He's not in custody anymore. He assaulted Curtis and stole his car.
Why would he do that?
Maybe you can tell me.
I don't know where Jack is, if that's what you're asking me.
You have no idea what he's doing.
No, but I'm sure there's an explanation.
Mr. McGill, we're not getting a signal from Jack's cell. The SIM card must be out of his phone.
Lynn looks quizzically at Audrey.
Well, if you think of anything, you'll let me know, right?
Of course.
Thanks.
Audrey seems to breathe a sigh of relief, thinks for a moment, and then dials. Chloe, seated only yards away, answers.
Brian.
Chloe, what I'm about to tell you needs to stay between us. It involves Jack.
What is going on? It just came on my screen that Jack's gone missing.
He's following a lead on the Centaux gas. He needed to go alone. I just transferred a call from my station to him. I need you to delete the record.
If Lynn finds out we're working behind his back...
I know, believe me, I know. But this is the only way. There isn't a lot of time.
When did you make the call?
Communications archive.
This is Lynn McGill. Bring up the phone logs that the station Audrey Raines is using.
Yes, sir.
I found the transfer. I can't dump just the one call. They're all cross-indexed.
Can't you unlink it?
No, it'll take like 2 hours.
Okay, Mr. McGill, the call log should be on your screen. Scroll through to Station 5. That's the one we dedicated to the DOD.
Lynn examines a complex series of diagrams. Audrey looks beseechingly to Chloe.
The only way to get rid of the entry is to dump the entire log, all the calls you've made
and received today. Do it.
Lynn's screen clears. He looks towards Audrey.
It's done. Thank you, Chloe.
Audrey returns nervously to her screen. From between the blinds of his glass-sided office, Lynn McGill stares down. 3:21 at the presidential retreat.
Day that will long be remembered as a step forward for both the United States and Russia. President Logan and President Suvorov are expected shortly to deliver their closing remarks. Following this, the Russian head of state...
What is it now, Mike?
I'm sorry, sir, but there's a call you need to take. It just came in on this.
And what is that?
Walt Cummings' phone, sir. It's been in Secret Service custody. They just brought it to me. The caller's claiming he has the Centaux gas.
Is someone tracing the call?
They can't. It's being sent through multiple relays.
Logan bridles evasively.
I'm not talking to a terrorist. You talk to them, you find out what he wants.
Mr. President, he's demanding to speak with you.
Logan turns away, showing the whites of his eyes like a jittery horse. He stares into the middle distance in an agony of indecision. He appears now to have made up his mind.
All right. Put him on speaker.
Mike carefully sets the mobile up by the speakerphone and retires to a sofa. Logan psychs himself up to speak.
This is President Logan. Is this Erwick?
Ivan Erwick is no longer with us, Mr. President. His attack on your shopping mall was unsanctioned and unwarranted. It didn't serve our interests.
What is it you want?
What I want is to release the Centaux nerve gas on Moscow. Since that is now impossible, I am forced to strike at Russia on foreign soil. With your help.
My help?
I want the route of Suvorov's motorcade. His entire route to the airport, along with a full profile of his security detail.
I don't personally have that information.
Then get it.
Make no mistake, Mr. President. It's our Russian oppressors I mean to hurt, not your people. However, if you refuse to cooperate, I will have no choice but to release all of the Centaux gas in areas far more populated than your shopping mall.
You just said that killing Americans didn't serve your interests. This would be senseless murder.
Yes, it would. So give me Suvorov's route.
I'll need some time.
You have 15 minutes.
I'm not sure...
Logan nervously closes the mobile phone. Mike gazes at the president from beneath inscrutable brows.
He wants to assassinate Suvorov.
We can't let that happen.
If the Russian president is killed on U.S. soil, it wouldn't just nullify the treaty. It would destroy our relationship with Moscow.
Logan's eyes are wide with anguish.
Get me Suvorov's route from Secret Service.
Mr. President.
Now, I haven't made any decision yet, Mike, but whatever I decide, I'd better have the route in hand when he calls back, don't you think?
Mike drops his gaze.
Yes, sir.
Mike complies and leaves. End of part two. Part three, 3:28, at CTU.
Somebody's screwing with me, Bill, and I won't tolerate it.
Screwing with you how?
Audrey Raine's phone log has been erased.
What?
Take a look.
Probably a system glitch.
It wasn't a glitch. She did it on purpose.
Audrey? You think Audrey did this?
I know she did.
That's ridiculous. She's one of the most by-the-book people I know.
Well, you don't go by the book when you're trying to hide something. Did you know that she was on the phone with Jack right before he attacked Curtis?
No, I didn't know that. What does that prove?
There's something going on with these two. What's their history?
You know their history, Lynn. They work together at DOD.
There's more than that, right?
It got personal later on, yeah.
Personal? And you didn't think it was important to tell me that?
No, I didn't. What difference does that make?
When did she find out Jack was still alive?
This morning with the rest of us.
You sure about that?
I was there, Lynn. I saw her reaction.
Could have been an act.
You're starting to sound paranoid.
I don't care how I sound. From this point on, I want all our people on a tight leash. If someone has a hidden agenda, I want to know about it. CTU's become way too porous, and that's your fault, Bill.
I don't need to hear this from you.
You don't want to hear this from me? Then tell me why Audrey erased her phone logs.
Jack's 4x4 races around a corner. He passes a tramp. 3:30, Jack leaps out and runs to a phone booth. He locates an earpiece beneath the payphone and attaches it to his ear. Nathanson watches from a window above, a large pistol in his hand.
I'm here, where are you?
In a minute. First, I want to make sure that you weren't followed. Otherwise, there's no deal.
Take the alley between the two buildings across the street from you. I left the gate open.
Listen to me. I don't know what you think I can do for you, but you committed treason.
I don't see it that way. I love this country.
You're never going to be able to justify killing David Palmer.
That was an unfortunate necessity. We admired Palmer, but we had other priorities. This country needs a reason to secure its oil interests in Asia, a reason that Russia and the rest of the world can get behind.
I've heard your reasoning from Walt Cummings. It's still treason.
No, it's a real politic. Do you see the open door ahead?
Yeah.
Enter it. Make two right turns and walk back the direction you came from.
Hold on!
Jack instead runs up the steps and crouches down to observe a helicopter dusting down on the roof.
You have hostiles coming in after you from the adjacent parking structure. Do you have a weapon?
Yes.
Where are you?
Second floor.
Try and make your way to the roof. I'll meet you there. Stay on the line.
All right.
Jack goes back down the steps. At CTU.
Audrey. DOD wants a fuller explanation about what happened to the mall. I told them that we're still trying to find a thread on the nerve gas.
I just spent the last 5 minutes getting grilled by Lynn.
About what?
You and Jack. Your relationship.
What'd you tell him?
The truth. That you and he were once romantically involved, and now I'm not sure.
I don't see how that's any of his business.
He thinks it is. He thinks you had something to do with Jack breaking from custody.
Audrey's clear blue eyes hold Bill's gaze.
Did you?
Not exactly.
What the hell does that mean?
A man claiming to be James Nathanson called here about 20 minutes ago. He said that he had information on the terrorists, that he would only give it to Jack.
Why didn't you tell me about this?
I was afraid of losing this lead. I didn't know what to do, Bill.
So Jack's meeting this man, Nathanson, alone, without backup. Where is he?
I don't know. Nathanson dropped me from the call.
Who else knows about this?
Just Chloe. She helped me cover the call from Lynn.
Audrey!
If you could just sign right here.
District elevated the threat level. I'm briefing first responders on the high probability of multiple attacks, so I need to review DOD protocols.
All right, I'll send them to your screen.
But we can do it here. Unless you have a problem working with me on this.
No, it's fine.
Excuse me.
3:33, Nathanson ascends an industrial lift shaft.
Bauer?
Yeah, where are you?
I'm in the freight elevator.
We need to get out of there now. You're cornered.
A large open warehouse space dotted with concrete pillars. Nathanson emerges from the lift and cautiously looks around the corner, his gun at the ready. A man enters through a door on the far side of the warehouse floor. He carries an automatic weapon and wears an earpiece. He walks cautiously towards where Nathanson hides. Nathanson runs to the body of his victim and takes the automatic rifle. Two more gunmen enter the space. Nathanson comes under fire. He dodges among the pillars, returning fire as he tries to escape. Nathanson, miraculously dodging the hail of bullets, makes the staircase and runs upwards.
Bauer, where are you?
I'm almost there, just keep moving.
Nathanson emerges onto the roof. Hugging the side of a wall, he makes a run for it and leaps over a low structure as his pursuers open fire. Nathanson runs, but is wounded. He takes shelter and desperately empties his weapons in the direction of his would-be assassins. A pair of thugs sense that they have Nathanson cornered. They leap over the wall and walk to where he lies, his leg bleeding. They cock their weapons. Jack takes both men out with surgical precision in the very nick of time. He proceeds with caution towards the struggling Nathanson. He becomes aware of the chopper returning. Chopper opens fire. Jack returns it. Nathanson struggles to reach one of the assassin's automatics. The gunman in the helicopter rakes Nathanson with machine gun fire. Jack hits the chopper. Black smoke billows from the fuselage. The stricken craft wheels off. Jack pulls the fatally wounded man onto his back.
Look at me. How do I find the canisters of Syntax? How do I find the canisters? In my pocket.
Jack rifles desperately through Nathanson's pockets, producing a small wallet from which he pulls out a microchip.
What's on the chip? Please, what's on the chip?
Nathanson loses what little grip he had left on life. His head lolls backwards. Jack takes the chip and inserts it into his mobile phone. He appears to read the screen and then rushes away. One of the Englishman's assassins walks from the wrecked helicopter, speaking into his mobile.
Nathanson's dead, but there was someone else there.
Who?
I don't know yet, but he took out three of my men and disabled the helicopter.
Nathanson may have given him information that compromises us. Keep looking until you find him.
Subtitle: Where have you been? Let's go. 3:26, the Englishman watches the news footage on TV.
The United States are taking on our allies' enemies, as well as having to deal with our own.
Diagram 7 lays out the hierarchy for first responders. Civil defense protocols for each agency are pretty well defined.
Shouldn't you get that?
Audrey Raines.
It's me. Nathanson's just been killed, but he gave me intel. I need you to uplink the data.
Sorry, Steve, you have the wrong extension. I'll transfer you to IT. Overlapping responsibilities default to federal, then to state. O'Brien.
Chloe, it's Jack. Audrey just rolled my call over to you. What the hell's going on over there?
It's Lynn. He's been shadowing her. He thinks that she's been talking to you behind his back, which I guess she has.
Chloe, listen to me. I have a thumb drive that's going to help us find the Syntax. I need you to data mine the files.
Upload the drive to my socket. Access code 5J55J.
Hold on. You should be getting it now. Chloe, I need you to keep this under the radar.
You mean keep it from Lynn?
At least until we know what we've got. My number come up on your screen?
Yeah.
Okay, I had to switch out phones. If you need to get a hold of me, call me back on that number.
Okay, well.
Chloe hangs up and casts a covert glance towards Audrey, who continues to work nervously under the scrutiny of Lynn McGill. 3:42. Jack drives. Chloe looks nervous. Lynn hovers by Audrey's shoulder. President Logan stands in his office reading from a file. Mike Novick enters and walks towards him.
Suvorov's motorcade ruins security detail.
Sir, if President Suvorov is killed, and the Russians find out we supplied his killers with this information, it would be considered an act of war.
The Russian motorcade has a significant security force. I see no reason to believe that the terrorists would even be successful. Maybe we should have an analysis done, determine the vulnerable points along the route.
Sir, we can't do that without giving away the fact that we had advanced knowledge of an attack.
What attack?
Logan and Novik are taken by surprise by Martha's sudden appearance.
It's nothing that you need to be concerned about.
Charles, you invited me into this circle. What attack?
Logan looks to Mike for support, but Mike turns away. This problem is Logan's alone.
The terrorists want the Suvorov's motorcade route. They've threatened to deploy more Syntox gas if I don't give it to them.
You're not seriously considering it, are you?
Charles believes an assault on the Suvorovs has a good chance.
Will you please let the president speak for himself? May we have a moment?
Martha looks daggers at Novik. Mike throws a look to Logan, who nods discreetly. Mike heads for the door. He looks back again before departing, but Logan gestures more insistently now for him to go.
Martha, please. If I don't give them the information they want, tens of thousands of Americans will die on our own soil, maybe hundreds of thousands, and I will be responsible.
All right. Charles, there's got to be another way. You change their itinerary, delay Suvorov from leaving.
It's all over the news that the Russians are leaving after we make the joint statement. If there's any deviation from that, the terrorists will know that I've alerted them.
Charles, what are you telling me? What are you saying? That we are going to stand in front of the entire world with the Suvorovs? You're going to look him in the eye, shake his hand, knowing you're sending them to their deaths?
If we were in Russia and Suvorov got this ultimatum, do you think that he would spare us?
I am not talking about Russia. I am not talking about Suvorov. I am talking about you. You are the president of the United States of America. My God, Charles, you're talking about murder.
Martha, my back is up against the wall. You give me another solution.
You stand up to them. Refuse to negotiate with them. Isn't that the policy of this country? Isn't that the point of the treaty you just signed?
It's not that simple, Martha. It never is.
Martha stares into Logan's slightly mad eyes. 3:46 at CTU. Audrey continues to work under Lynn's supervision. Chloe works at her screen. There flashes up a red message, warning, source code not recognized.
Damn it.
Karen.
This is Chloe.
What is it, Chloe?
Jack just sent me the data he got off Nathanson. My decryption filters weren't working, and I just realized why. The drive's DOD formatted.
DOD?
Yeah, I don't know how Nathanson got his hands on highly classified government T drive, but Audrey's the only one with clearance.
Lynn's got her tied up.
Exactly.
How much time do you need?
To decrypt all the vectors? 2-3 minutes?
Hang on.
Bill approaches Audrey's workstation.
Lynn, do you have a minute?
What is it?
You were inquiring about a security breach with the phone logs?
That's right.
Chloe emails Audrey for the DOD codes. Audrey looks and responds.
We can key in the user ID from your office and find who we're looking for. We just have to use your key card.
Why are you so interested in this?
I'm serious about all breaches of security.
What was that?
What?
That last window you closed, what was it?
It was just the DOD protocols.
What is going on here?
Lynn, will you please just calm down?
Don't tell me to calm down. The two of you are up to something, and I'm not going to stand for it. No, I think you're protecting Audrey, and she's protecting Bauer.
Look, I can explain, Lynn.
So can I. This was a deliberate attempt to circumvent my authority.
Lynn, we are all on the same side.
If your father wasn't the Secretary of Defense, I'd have you thrown out of here. I don't have that problem with you.
This last comment is to Buchanan.
Drive security to Station 5, please, right away.
What are you doing?
Place Mr. Buchanan in custody and take him to holding.
You are making a mistake.
Okay. Bill and Lynn lock eyes. Bill then nods slightly and moves to go with the guards.
I want everyone's attention.
I'm putting a Section 2-3 redundancy into effect as of this moment. All of your stations will be mirrored and monitored through my office. Now get back to work.
We need Bill to get through this crisis. You are jeopardizing our chances of finding that nerve gas. I will make sure that DOD and the Secretary of Defense are aware of that.
Don't threaten me, Ms. Reason. I promise you, you do not want to threaten me.
End of part 3. 3:52. Jack drives. He answers his phone.
What do you got?
A decryption element kicked out a company called Teradyne. Over the past 3 years, they've acquired more than 100 pounds of raw strontium isotope used to create Centox nerve gas.
Where do I find Teradyne?
La Cañada. It's a subsidiary of a larger corporation called Omicron International.
Hold on, did you say Omicron?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
What's wrong?
Pull up the senior executive roster, see if a man named Christopher Henderson is on the list.
Why?
Just do it, please.
Okay, here it is. Christopher Henderson, Senior Vice President of Research and Development. Do you know him?
Yeah, I did once. Listen, send me the decrypted files over to my PDA.
It's gonna be a little bit hard to do right now, Jack. Lynn is watching everyone like a hawk.
Well, can Buchanan help you?
He could if he weren't in holding.
What are you talking about?
Lynn detained him for insubordination.
How can he do that?
Because he's losing it. I think the president's putting too much pressure on him
to get those canisters. He can't handle it.
Chloe, I still need the decrypted files. You're gonna have to find a way to get them to me.
I'll try.
Jack looks grim. 3:54, Mike enters Logan's office.
They haven't called yet?
No, they haven't, sir. President Silver, I was waiting.
Logan looks to Martha. She refuses to return his gaze.
We'll be out in a minute. Excuse me. Martha. Please. This is a difficult decision for me. Both politically and personally. And maybe I won't have to make it. Maybe CTU will find the canisters before the Superoffs have to leave. That's what I'm praying for. But whatever happens, I need you to understand.
I do. Understand, Charles, I do.
Mr. President.
Logan prevails upon Martha to accompany him out to where Mike awaits.
It has been a challenging day, so I especially appreciate how professional you have all been. Your president is fortunate to have such talented people working for him. Thank you.
Yuri. Anya.
Mr. President, I'm glad that we have this opportunity to thank you and Mrs. Logan personally for your hospitality.
Mr. President, it's been our pleasure.
Anya and I hope that you will
yes.
soon allow the Russian
Hold on.
To show their appreciation.
We would love that. Wouldn't we, Martha?
Yes. It would be lovely.
Martha. Thank you again for being so kind.
I read the text of your statement. It was excellent. And congratulations again on your brilliant handling of the crisis at the airport.
Thank you, Yuri. And thank you for your steadfast support.
Mike on the phone catches Logan's eye.
Have there been further developments?
No, not at all. There's always pressure. But everything's under control.
Yes.
Ladies, photographers are waiting.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Logan ushers Suvorov and his wife away, then turns and gives a decisive nod to Mike Novick.
The motorcade will take service roads to the 118 and then to the 5 freeway south.
Charles.
Martha, please, just smile and wave.
Logan fixes a grotesque smile as he takes Martha by the elbow. The Englishman ends the call to Mike and bends over a table.
The motorcade will take Suvorov through this downtown corridor. That will give us our best shot at destroying all the vehicles. Tell our people, this is where I want them to strike.
The Englishman jabs his pencil at the circle he has marked on the map. Curtis walks back into CTU. Bill Buchanan paces in holding. Jack drives. The press corps snap away vigorously at the Russian leader and his wife.
All right, that's it, folks. We need to move.
Logan comes over to collect Martha, 358.
Come on. Charles, you can't get in that car. It's not too late.
Lynn McGill is calling from CT. Charles.
What about?
He didn't say. He just asked to speak with you directly.
Excuse me.
Mr. President, I'm afraid I have to say my goodbyes here. Affairs of state, you know. The pressures continue.
As I understand, of course. Thank you, President Logan, for everything.
Thank you. Anya.
Charles.
Logan hurries away, leaving Martha standing by the door of the Russian limousine. She seems to be up to something.
This is Logan.
Aaron. I've decided to drive to the airport with the Suvorovs. You could have a car follow us.
We're not detailed for that. I'll ride up front.
No, Aaron, no, it's not necessary.
Yes, it is.
Would you tell my husband where I am?
Aaron nods almost imperceptibly and then closes the car door as Martha climbs aboard. The Suvorovs appear nonplussed by her action.
I hope you don't mind if I accompany you.
You sure your husband won't mind?
No, of course not. This way we'll have more time to talk. I like that.
Ma'am, the president is being briefed by CTU right now, but I left word for you.
The motorcade pulls away. The same image is picked up as part of Fox News on the Englishman's TV screen. He notes it and turns grimly as his men mobilize around him. ...4 p.m., the end.